Hello everybody and welcome to the talk for this week. In this series we are looking at how the loving kindness that flows from God's character infiltrates humanity, that's us, and calls us to care more deeply for one another. That is in contrast to the all too common stories of people taking advantage of those who are vulnerable. In our story, at this specific point, that's chapter 2 of the book of Ruth, Boaz is showing loving kindness to Ruth as she, in tragic personal circumstances, goes to work in his field. As it turns out, the story says, Ruth found herself in just the right place at just the right time. The right place and time to enable this Moabite widow, migrant or foreigner to transcend the typical stories of the time. Transcend the story of being a good-for-nothing Moabite, one of the various evil other nations we read about in the story of Israel, to transcend the story of a vulnerable woman being taken advantage of by men, and to transcend her tragic situation as a young widow with no choice but to pick up the leftovers in someone else's field. And remember, this is as much the story of Naomi as well, who until recently was facing life as a lonely and not so young widow, but who now sees on the horizon, emerging from the awful loss of both her sons and her husband, the possibility of a new chapter in her life. And that's just in the immediate narrative. Little did Naomi or Ruth know that from this seemingly insignificant story of loving kindness among some Iron Age peasants would come the lineage of not only King David, but also of Jesus, the Son of God, the Saviour of the whole world. This really is quite a story. Now, as Mike said last week, the scene has been set for Ruth, for Naomi, and for Boaz. The two widows have come to Jerusalem. Naomi, back to her homeland. Ruth, a migrant, trusting herself into the hands of Naomi's God. Now they have nothing, no food. The vast majority of people at that time, especially outside the cities like Jerusalem, would have been subsistence farmers. And Naomi and Ruth would have found life very difficult with the loss of all three men in their family. Now they've arrived in Bethlehem as the barley harvest is beginning. So Ruth, being proactive, seeks to go out and glean in an available field. Now, gleaning was an allowance made under the law in Israel and also attested to in the archaeology in surrounding nations such as Egypt, where space was to be left for the poor to be able to fend for themselves. Farmers were not to harvest to the very edges of their fields nor go over their vineyards twice, but some of the harvest was to be left for those who needed it. And in doing so, the love of God was demonstrated. You can read about that in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 9 to 10. But that was no way meant to limit the love of God. Of course, God wants much more from us than to do the bare minimum for others. And we are going to see that in this story. So, accordingly, as it turns out, Ruth finds herself suddenly facing something rather different than she has been experiencing in recent times. She begins to find hope. As it turns out, she walks into a field belonging to Boaz and is able to work there. And as it turns out, Boaz takes issue with the fact that men working for him might lay a hand on Ruth. So he stops that before it happens. And as it turns out, Boaz quite likes Ruth. So he asks, who does she belong to? What a question. Shall we just pick that up for a moment? Who does she belong to? What a different world to today, although perhaps not that different in some places still, but common in the ancient world. The women belonged to the men, even in the times of the New Testament, either to their fathers or then to their husbands, or if something happened, then to another male relative. These ideas are detestable to us, aren't they? And certainly we want to be careful not to bring from those ancient times of the Bible some kind of ideas about innate male priority into today. That wouldn't be right. At the same time, of course, it's good to want to look out and care for one another, which is exactly what we see happening in our story. So, what Boaz discovers, to his surprise, it seems, is not only is Ruth a foreigner, a Moabite, an other, somehow showing the loving kindness of his God, of Yahweh, to her mother-in-law, Naomi, also, he is almost the closest male relative, which presents the possibility of a marriage to this apparently rather attractive lady who has turned up out of the blue into his field. And as it seems, Boaz is rather keen on the idea. And remember, he is a good man. So not only does he let her glean in the field, but he orders the men to drop a little extra for her and be kind with her. He goes beyond what the law asks him to do. He asks Ruth to join him for lunch. He gives her more than she needs, and she is able then to take some home to Naomi as well. So Boaz, he takes good care of Ruth. Things have taken a turn for her. She stays close to the women who are working for Boaz, and she can glean. She's able to support herself and Naomi until the harvest is over. That's good, isn't it? It's a satisfactory story. Certainly things have stabilized for Naomi and for Ruth. Certainly life is tough, but it's manageable. They have food, they're safe. But is that it? Is that the best to be hoped for? Well, actually, there seems to be a plan stirring. But let me tell you one of my stories first. You know, I had a plan once. Well, perhaps not that much of a plan, but I did pray for a wife. Well, why not? I needed one. I think what I mean is that I wanted to meet the right person to share my life with. I didn't go gleaning. I mean, I tried the pub, but that didn't work. So I prayed. Anyway, as it turned out, she arrived in church, just over there somewhere, around about where Ian and Helen usually sit. The very next day, this was. I mean, talk about Amazon Prime speed. Pray for your wife or your husband within the next 3 hours and 27 minutes and they will arrive tomorrow. Or maybe not. I'm not suggesting, I don't want to say that prayers are always answered like that all the time. Well, that's just one of my own stories. And we all have at least one or two, don't we, where God has changed the course of our lives. Of course, I didn't know at the time that Rosie was going to be my wife, and neither did she know that I was going to be her husband. And she had at least as much say in the matter as I did. But we did meet that day, and we did start to get to know each other. And yes, it's been a wonderful journey for us, building a real relationship and a family. And isn't it always a journey? You know, when we put our lives in God's hands, He will sometimes make things happen at certain points, at the right time. But those moments, those things are not snapshots, but the beginnings or key moments in much longer stories. You know, learning to to live and to show loving kindness is an ongoing journey, and we continue to learn to do that every day. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it is not easy. But we set our minds on walking together with God. You know, we do that in the context of marriage. We do that in the context of everyday life. Like Ruth, we say to God, "You will be my God and I will be yours." And we then learn to recognize God's loving kindness shown to us, and we also learn to share it with one another. I tried to do that as best as I can. Rosie and I, we try to do that together. We get it wrong plenty of times. And perhaps I should speak for myself. I get it wrong plenty of times. But God has come through for us in some key moments. And for us, God continues to walk with us and to change both of us. And I am very grateful for that. We both are. Now, that's just one tiny but key part of my own story. And this story that we're looking at is a small but key part of the story of Ruth and Naomi and also Boaz. Ruth said to Naomi, "Your people will be my people and your God will be my God." She put her life in his hands. Then, just as it turned out, she finds herself in the right place at the right time for her life to pivot in a whole new direction. And not just her life, not just her prayers, but those of Naomi as well. Amongst lots and lots of hard work, lots of prayer, plenty of difficult days, but a key moment and an ongoing journey that will present plenty more challenges amongst plenty more joys. But God came through. He longs to do that for us as we align ourselves with him. And doesn't this world desperately need us and everyone to become a little more like God, like Jesus, that is? Okay, so the LICC, who produced this series of talks that we're going through, they entitled this section "Loving at Work." Right, it's the place, in the place of work, that Boaz is showing loving kindness to Ruth. And the questions that this part of the story present to us are, can we act like Boaz and Ruth? Do we notice people, whether at work or wherever it is that we use our time, who might be in need or lonely or sad, needing a friend? As far as we can, do we make our work or other spaces loving and safe? Let's do that. Another question, and this is a really challenging one. Are men able to treat women, as Paul says to Timothy, this young church leader that he is teaching, are men able to treat women as either mothers or sisters with absolute purity? It's a big and difficult topic, isn't it? But a really important one. Boaz said to Ruth, "I've told the men not to lay a hand on you." It's pretty shocking, isn't it? Does that still need to be said today? Sadly, it does. Do I need to say it to myself or to anyone else in my church? I hope not. I don't think so. I'm sure that we all take matters like this really seriously. And of course we do. That is exactly right, but it's sitting right there in the narrative, and we know it's sitting right there amongst us today in our world. We need to honour marriage, and we need to treat other people with absolute respect in the midst of our world that is still grappling with these problems all the time. So it does need to be said, and let's make sure that we do that, just as Paul said to Timothy, even though I already know that we do. So, the overarching question surrounding all of this is, are we able to treat everyone that we meet, everyone around us, with loving kindness? Or is that our trajectory? Even when it's not reciprocated, being generous, merciful, forgiving, just, patient, loving, self-giving, kind. You know, those are the characteristics of God and his kingdom. We see that in this part of the story that we've looked at today. Let's do that, shall we, as best as we can. I know we do, as we walk in the power of God's Spirit together. But we've not reached the end of the story yet. And as I said, a plan is definitely stirring. Why on earth would Naomi send her daughter-in-law to meet a man in the middle of the night in a secluded place? Well, remember, Boaz is an honourable man, but you'll have to wait till next week as we will move closer to the pivotal moment in this story. What a wonderful story, isn't it? A story of the loving kindness of God and its power to change the world, even in the context of simple everyday lives, especially in that context. So let's pray. Father God, we need the power of your loving kindness amongst us today as much as ever, in a world where stories of sexual abuse are all too common, where poverty is rife and indifference is everywhere, where we fail to love those seeking a better life, where we face the ongoing effects of racism and where there is discrimination of many kinds. Yet, Lord God, you always bring hope, and we see glimmers of your love all around us. Your power comes to bring stories of transformation, and you set us on new trajectories. You heal our wounds. So, Lord God, we ask you to heal us, to heal our world, to heal us from the effects of these things, we pray. Lead us in building your kingdom. We long for a world where these issues no longer exist, but where your loving kindness rules, where we are your people and where you are our God. To become increasingly real in our lives, we pray. We give ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen.